Chris in Tennessee, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Welcome to the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. My name is Chris. This show is called Nowhere to Run. You can go to our website, which is conspiracyclothes.com/nowhere to run, and you can email me at chris@conspiracyclothes.com. I'm noticing a little ring here, but it won't be there long. I'm going to cut to a clip that's going to cover most of the show. I've noticed we've got a lot of stuff to talk about with the Tessarian bit and a lot of the craziness surrounding that, so I'm going to try to get to that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play an interview I just did with Zeph Daniel from his website zephnet.com and also predicto.blogspot.com, and we covered most of it, so I'm going to just play that. But before I do, I want to mention the show is also being carried on Revelations Radio Network as well as Revere Radio Network. Revelations Radio Network is something that Frank Lordy has set up from salvationrevelation.com, and I'm really, really excited about it because Frank has got together a lot of like-minded, very, very interesting individuals. If you like this show, you'll like Revelations Radio Network. So go there and check it out. I listen to Frank's podcast all the time. It's one of my favorite shows on the internet, and I highly recommend that. And now I'm a fan of these other ones that he's put together and found. Just incredible. All of them are very, very good, very smart, very well researched. So please check that out, Revelations Radio Network. In addition, I know I've talked about Russ Dizdar in the past, and people have emailed me and said, well, how do I find all this audio that you know you're talking about? It's not easy to do, but it is now. He has just set up a podcast on podomatic.com. I think it's called preemptionbroadcast.podomatic.com. You should be able to find it with the search thing. It's fairly new, so maybe it's not in all the search engines, but it's preemptionbroadcast.podomatic.com with Russ Dizdar, and you should be able to find that now on iTunes. And he uploads podcasts all the time. It's just on his website, shatterthedarkness.net. Sometimes it's a little difficult to navigate and find the audio, so that's good that it's all in one place. Okay, let's get right into this interview with Zeph Daniel. It covers most of the Tessarian madness that's going on right now, so we'll do that. And thanks for listening, and you can email me at chris@conspiracyclothes.com. Oh, yeah, and you can go to the show notes section of the website for all the information that we're talking about there in the interview. I tried to compile it all in the show notes section of both websites, so just go to conspiracyclothes.com/nowhere to run or the Podomatic site, and you'll see references to what we're talking about.
How about now?
I hear you perfectly, brother. That's awesome.
Okay, great. I just traded out the new mic for the laptop mic. I think it'll be all right.
I think that what's amazing is that we can do this interview and sound like you're on a digital hybrid coming into this, much better than the phone lines.
Yeah.
And I mean, if I went and got a few compressors to put on those phone lines and did some things, I could really probably get it nice. But, you know, it's amazing that this, we use Google here. We've been very happy with it. Sometimes people's mics are overmodulated on the high end, and I've got to roll off the top. But today we're fine. You're coming in loud and clear. And, okay. So let's just start right off. Here's what's happening, folks. Chris White has made the news. Chris White is a talk show host at the Revere Radio Network, also a musician, an accomplished musician. And he heads up a company called Conspiracy Clothes. Is that .com? Conspiracyclothes.com, where you can get something like F the Federal Reserve t-shirt, which I have now, thanks to Chris, and you can wear it around and let people know how you feel. And I just have to say this so that people out there, that your friends are listening, because I have a prophetic angle to what I do, that I have to say things and things that people don't want to hear, like calling the Patriot Movement taken over by progressive left-wing New Age stooges, you know, who happened to be for Ron Paul. Now, let me just say this. I happen to be for Ron Paul, too. I don't know that he can get elected, but I happen to be, yes, I like Ron Paul, okay?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure people know that I'm not putting down Ron Paul and saying he's part of the Babylon shitstem. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying I love Ron Paul. If he wins the primary, I'm going to, you know, do something. I mean, would I do something now? I don't know. You know, I'm not political. I have to say things no one wants to hear. That's part of my walk in Christ. That's what I'm called to do.
Right.
Sorry. Yeah. So you guys out there that are patriots, you think I'm calling you New Agers. I'm saying, no, your movement has been taken over by the New Age. What are you going to do about it? Well, here's what we're going to do about it. Right. Today, we've got our friend Chris White here, who is, I would call him a patriot. I would call him a very creative person, a person who loves the Lord and who is willing to defend the faith and who recently did a show, his own, where he took Michael Sarion's information, that's T-S-A-R-I-O-N, I believe. I think that's right. And he took Sarion's information and he went through to show errors that Sarion made with respect to the Bible. And I had read it, and Chris did a very nice, thorough job. You would, you know, something that could be used for a debate, for reasoning, something like that. Nothing special. It was just going through, you know, in other words, it's just one of us defending our faith. Here he's saying things about our faith, our Bible, that are not true. So Chris is doing, you know, what we're supposed to do, search the scriptures like a good Berean and find those areas that are not kosher, if you will, and then let people know the other side that you know, these assumptions Sarion makes, and we're going to go through them, don't worry, and we're going to give Chris a chance to explain all of this. But first, I want to say, here's the controversy. So if you're just tuning in 6 months from now, know that 6 months ago, Sarion himself got really mad. And, of course, he has a forum somewhere because they're starting to come over to our Predicto page and make noise. Anyway, he said that I'm not going to debate Chris White. I'm going to kick his ass instead. Now, that obviously is what I expect from somebody that's cannot really come back with any kind of what can you say if you go by the Bible and you point out where his errors are? What's he going to say? No, that's not written there. In other words, he can't debate. So what do they do when you catch him dead to rights? They start attacking, of course. All right. That's my opinion. Now we're going to turn it over to Chris. Chris, what happened?
Well, yeah, that show was the one you're referring to. It was called The Many Mistakes of Michael Cesarian. And that was a while back, maybe even a month or two ago. I don't remember. But then I also did one recently that I also did a Google video, kind of turned it into a Google video, which was more showing his connections to this system that he claims to fight. And that also sparked a lot of interest here recently. I don't know exactly what it was. It was a combination of a lot of different things. People picking up on it and whatnot that made it an issue now. But yeah, and you know, the thing about him saying that, you know, he was, I think what he said was the only debate he was going to give me was with his fist or something like that. But also, you know, he called me Jesuit stooge and Illuminati and the rest of it. You know, he said these Illuminati, you know, people are hired to come after me and stuff like that, you know. And I don't know. I mean, I think that's just really, you know, discrediting, because here's a guy that's telling everybody who's the Illuminati and who's not, and who's the Jesuit stooge and who's not. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he's just real liberal with it, apparently. I mean, I think that's a bad move, because, I mean, you can go to my shows and listen to it, you know, and, you know, I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a Jesuit stooge, you know. So I mean, you know. Anyway, but I think that's where we're at, I guess, right now.
We are. Well, we're further than that, because his you have to factor in that he has. You talk about stooges. He's got his own stooges, and quite a few of them, where they just seem to go buy the CDs and, you know, inundate themselves with information. They're not really the information about something I've studied for a long time, and I know all about it, all about the New Age concepts, Druidism, tarot cards, all, you know, consciousness, raising of consciousness, and all those things. And it's very dangerous stuff. And I just feel sorry for them, because he is leading them. He's got a cult following. And it looks like he's leading them into just extreme delusion here with personal empowerment, you know, the whole thing that he's doing. And they're, listen, Chris, they're not fighting the Illuminati. The Illuminati's completely into all the same things he's into.
Well, I know. It's like, you know, Stockholm syndrome or something like that. You know, I don't understand yeah. how people can see that it's the same thing. But, you know, just to, on the cult thing, you know, I think it's not quite as that easy. And I think it's a little different than that. And, you know, I don't look down on the people that are sucked into this because it's really, really slick stuff. And if it hadn't have been from coming from a background of, you know, the whole, you know, the Sitchin is wrong thing, you know, really understanding where Sitchin is a really important player in this, in that it is his groundwork that everybody needs in order to build this new world order seeded by aliens religion that they're building. But first, it's like painting a house. You know, you got to scrape off the old paint in order to put a new coat on. So they're trying to, so it can be essentially said to, that they're just discrediting Christianity and then painting on their new thing. And so I, you know, and that's another thing that I was, you know, uniquely qualified to be able to sift through the BS here, because I mean, that's one of my hobbies is apologetic. So I know where his, you know, the holes were essentially in that. And the whole thing about finding all these Rosicrucian connections and all this stuff is just gravy, you know, because I didn't have any doubts who he was, but just, you know, this, all this stuff. I don't know if you've seen that.
I've seen it. All I have to see is Terrascope readings, and that's all I need.
Right. But like I said, it's really, really slick, and the information there is top notch. This guy, as far as I can tell, has been trained for this since he was 11 years old, and is very, very, very slick, and I think inspired, if you will. And so I think that it's. It's charged, you know, and it's very easy to be deceived in it. And if you don't have the background of, you know, you have to go to sitchiniswrong.com if you're listening to this, and really understand that those aren't mistakes that you just make in the text. You have to manipulate that, and then you have to look at why you would be manipulating these things. That's my whole point. It wasn't to pick on a mistake or this and that. Oh, you got this wrong. Let's, you know, make a big deal about it. It's there has to be an agenda behind this mistake. It's not little flubs here and there, although there are a ton of flubs as well. But, you know.
Well, you know, where it comes into things like psychic vampirism and things like that, yes, well, we know all about psychic vampirism. And you're much more generous than I am. I don't really have a good bedside manner when it comes to occultists. I just... You know, they're all pretty much the same. And whether you take Buddhist occultist or Hindu occultist or Western mystics out of the Greek mystery school tradition, Madame Blavatsky, or you take the Lucis Trust, Alice Bailey, or you take Barbara Marx Hubbard, or you take any of them you want to take, Benjamin Cream, who's more of a kind of a carnival barker for Maitreya, and yada, yada, yada. And I know they all fight each other and they all have these little differences, but basically it all comes down to the same thing. You really are a divine being, and you just need to really ultimately realize it. And then you have the whole power of the universe at your command. All you need is the knowledge to open that door.
Yeah, it's the carrot in front of the donkey kind of thing. And everybody,
that's it.
You know, wants to be that, you know, I mean, it's, I don't know, and his is different in the sense that it is also, it's real convoluted in what's being said, but it is definitely at the core of it, inspiring this, I don't know, it's a long story, it's real an interesting.
Yeah, it goes back, it's a long story, it goes back to the Garden of Eden.
It does. It's apologetics for the devil, as I said in one of those things. I mean, yeah. But I don't like to, you know.
I understand. Chris has got a good bedside demeanor. He is, you know, as Dr. Chris, we should call him, because he's not really going to try to inflame the argument by putting down New Agers for being deluded in that situation. He's going to say that, you know, yes, and I agree with you. Any of us could. Look, I spent a lot of time in it myself while I was searching for the answers.
Yeah, so, me too.
Okay, all right. So let's admit that. I mean, it's not like I've always been. It's just something that I really have to warn, because, Chris, I know people who are demonically possessed, who are mind control victims, who are have multiple personalities that were created by occultists for the purposes of occultic, if you will, power rituals and things like that. I know people that have been, obviously, when they talk about the Illuminati, they're talking about evil Satanism or human sacrificing type Satanism. But I don't really see a difference between New Ageism and Satanism. And I suppose that if these people that are following or seeking, you know, the new age for answers, for personal enlightenment, personal empowerment, or deliverance, what it really is ultimately, and it takes like awakening to see this, it is a cult of death. In other words, it's preparation to die. It's escapism from wherever you are. It's going on to the astral plane. How many classes are there out there that are in remote viewing and you know, in with wizards and witches? This is a joke because that's the definition of a witch or wizard is that they travel in the astral plane. They travel in that mode and take a look at what's going on with people. They come into your room. They go to, you know, wherever they go. And there's a lot of that laced with this while they're saying, pointing a finger at the Illuminati for their blood sacrifices to Satan. And then but they are doing the same thing, traveling in the astral plane, hooking up with the whole UFO deity situation to bring about this great world or the new Atlantis to Earth. I mean, how is that? All right, I'm going to turn it back over to you. What about the controversy? We have...
You know, a big deal was, like I said, it didn't appear to me to be any one thing, and it just seemed like a lot of things came together. I know there was a certain forum post on the David Icke forum that laid some of this out, and I've talked to that guy since, and he seemed like a real smart guy, and you know, real down to earth. But I think it was that, and then Andre picked up on. Andre from Outlaw News,
right?
And he picked up on it, and you know, he was, you know, did his thing.
He made you famous,
right? Yeah. So, and he also has a really, really unique connection to the MySpace thing, so that had a lot to do with it and everything. But you know, I, for whatever it's worth, you know, this is something that I've been hoping and praying about for a while, because there is a lot of. There's a lot of lies, just straight up and down lies going around that people are just taking as conspiracy fact, if we'll say. There's a lot of conspiracy lore that I'm sure you know that people just walk around, they tell their friends when they tell them about all the other conspiracies, they tell them these ones too, like, you know, like the Francis Bacon deal or something. There's these little lies that I can just totally prove ridiculously stupid, but it doesn't really matter because people go to their graves believing something that can just be debunked just by straight looking it up. You know, it's the whole thing about I had a big burden for the whole Zeitgeist thing, and this Jesus was just like Horus, and you know, name any other Dionysus. Rest of it,
the Jordan and Maxwell. I call that the Jordan Maxwell syndrome.
Well, I mean, it's like, it is, I mean, I have recently done something on my website called the Take the Zeitgeist Challenge, where I've offered $100, and now other people put more money on it.
Cool.
To anybody that can prove what Zeitgeist says, I mean, by going to the ancient text, the issue is that Zeitgeist lists their sources, but it's all Jordan Maxwell or Gerald Massey or Achari S or whatever. It's not one single ancient document, you know? It's like, if it was so freaking obvious that Horus did all this stuff that Jesus did, why not quote the Book of the Dead? You know, why do you got to go through Acharya S, you know, or nobody that's over 100 years old, you know?
You had the Buddha stories, the Tathagata stories of the virgin birth of the Buddha, you know? There are another reason, a lot of these things compete with, you know, they knew of the prophecy that there would be a child born, you know, that he would be pure, would be a virgin, but you know, that's something that people look for, but Jesus fulfilled it. And these others are a lot of it's mythology. And you can prove that by going back. So like the Buddha stories came well after the tradition of Buddhism was founded. See what I mean? It came later, like around the Middle Ages, these stories started circulating, but also knowledge of, you know, Christianity and that whole story of the virgin birth also was circulating. They also was popular. And Buddhism, if anything, it was a religion of inclusion. In other words, whatever the tradition was, it, like when it went into China from India, it absorbed everything. In other words, the local deities became like bodhisattvas, and it would just absorb all the traditions into itself, including some Christian ideas.
I think that's what Bill Cooper, who was trying to prove that, at least in his, I don't know, if, at least he was in that series, the Mystery Babylon series that he did, that's what these mystery schools were doing. It was a Masonic practice to do that. I mean, they didn't even make any bones about it, that they were molding the Christian story into and making up things about what happened in Egypt. I mean, they didn't even really claim that that was historical fact, that Horus did this and that. But now we're so freaking deluded. I don't know if it's the fluoride or what it is, but we have no clue.
There's no historical basis on that.
Not even to them, not even to the Masonic people who practice that in the lodges. They don't even think that there's a historical basis.
A lot of that comes from the Egyptian Book of the Dead by Budge. His name is Budge, E. Wallace Budge, I think, something like that. And the there's not to be confused with the Tibetan Book of the Dead. That's a whole different thing. But the Egyptian Book of the Dead and Egyptology is a big subject. And a lot of these stories were uncovered by interpretations of hieroglyphics. And that's it. And that's how it comes to us today. And it's a fascinating read. I used to have a copy of it. I just didn't have room. But I did study that. It's very intense. The study of Egyptology is very, very, it's a very deep study, and it's, people can spend their whole lives on it, you know.
Well, let me continue a little bit with more where you asked about the controversy. There are a few things that I'd like to say concerning it, because it just seems like there's a lot of stuff being said about me and whatnot, and I just want to say a few things. I don't know if they're in my defense or what, but, you know, it was said that I slandered him. And I don't think that you can go through any of those things and read that as slander. I heard that one of them, you know, was that, I don't know, that I had done an Irish accent when saying that everybody should do their homework, like he always says. But, you know, I don't think that, you know, I think I was careful not to. And, in fact, I don't think that he was careful not to slander me. But, again, you know, it's not about – and also, you know, the whole idea that, that I'm doing this for notoriety or something like that. And, you know, I don't care anything about this, you know, the radio show, the ratings. I'm not doing it for any kind of prideful purpose. I mean, I don't think that you can get that. I mean, like I said, I'm a lot of things, but I'm not that. I'm not doing it for that reason. I think that, you know, either I'm really not doing it for all those things, or, you know, I'm just, you know, a really killer actor, because I think you can go through that stuff and see that I'm trying my damnedest to be humble about this stuff. And I got, you know, anyway. Another thing I wanted to say is that...
go ahead. Okay, well, let me just say that this is not a personal thing that Chris is doing against Michael Tsarion, or is it Tsarion? Do you
I think it's like Tsar and Orion. I think it's probably Tsarion or I don't know what.
Orion. Okay, well, look, it's not to make... you know, fun, or just to say, you know, my dad will beat your dad up type of thing. It is just that Chris is doing the work the Lord has set him to do, which is the work of defending the gospel. And, you know, and it's a tragedy to see people sucked into the occult, because it literally destroys lives, and we want to see lives saved. Now, I know that even that can be a hostile comment. Even that can be too much, what I just said. But he was approaching it in that way. I didn't see anything. There was nothing that Chris put out there that was in any way looking to demean. It's just that there's a disagreement, and this goes deep. And I think there's spirits attached too, Chris. I mean, there's a spirit of the occultism and of this sort of new age. I've felt it myself. It's very powerful. And if anybody Christian came around me trying to tell me not to go that way or caution me, I would just, you know, that spirit is one that just, forget the facts. I'm going to want to beat you up. You know, there is that spirit.
Hell yeah, absolutely. I know that that's true. I know that there's like a real, actual spiritual blindness going on here. And I say that from experience, not just as some fuddy-duddy Christian. I mean, I've been with people who, it doesn't matter what you show them or what you prove to them. It's not going to happen. It's just never going to happen.
Well, I'll be honest with you all out there. What's happened to the friends of mine that went, you know, really went gung-ho down that path? Most of these have died. Most of these others have been stripped of, they've had tragic lives. In other words, they're beguiled into this path, and it looks all great going in, And then it begins to fall apart unless you ultimately, you know, enslave yourself to, it's kind of like a bait and switch thing. You know, you get in there and it looks like you're going for personal knowledge, and then you find out, oh no, there's another evil master there that wants me to submit down the road. And the honchos don't really, you know, the leaders, they don't really tell you what you're going to encounter down the road at the end, that it leads to that same place that the, say, quote, dark side would lead. But I'm, and, you know, anyway.
And I also would like to say on that, you know, it's based on a very pure human thing, I guess, to want control over the uncontrollable. I mean, we all do. I do. I don't. I in fact need it. You know, if it wasn't for my audience to the throne room of the universe in my prayer life, I don't think I would be able to get through this life. We all need to be able to affect the, quote, you know, the unaffectable. And so I think it's just plain on that you can get it yourself. You don't have to go through any, you know, any source. You have it within yourself to get all this power. All you got to do is learn a few little tricks. But those tricks are what we've been taught since the very earliest days, when these pyramid days and this hybrid Nephilim race were the ones that made damn sure that we knew exactly how to do those little tricks, because it was to benefit them. Mm-hmm. It was to give them a foothold in our plane, which they had no right to unless through our wills. So, I mean, it's a big freaking thing all yes. to do with them. And they just played on the obvious pride that we have. And, of course, they give us, I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't work. I mean, they throw you a bone in that regard. But those are just parlor tricks. You have parlor tricks compared to what I can attain through just going through the asking it through the creator of the freaking universe that can do anything. There's nothing without aside of his realm of possibility where you have to do a... You have to get into some pretty high blood level stuff and the occult to even match the kind of thing that I can do just by a simple asking, you know. It's the fact of not wanting to ask that really is. It's based in pride. It's based in a lot of things. And it's not to be really, it's not, again, it's not their fault. It's a deception that once somebody shows it to you and you got no frame of reference, it all makes sense, you know.
Yes, I mean, obviously it will lead to slavery, but some people just have to, I'm getting some notice in the email here that Michael Sarnian has posted something on Predicto. Predicto.blogspot.com is a running blog. Oh, someone else posted something that Sarnian said. Okay, so he's still addressing you, Chris, and now I guess what's happening is he's addressing you through our Predicto. Now, I sent you an invitation. If you want to post there, go ahead. You can post just another place for you to post some of your posts that will be seen. No, I have it wrong?
But
oh, I see. Okay, Luke has posted. All right, sorry. Another. Okay, I got it. It was posted yesterday.
Okay, and if I would say two more things here concerning things I wanted to clear up that I know people were wondering about were, you know, and they said, why didn't I contact him before I did this stuff, you know, concerning, I don't know if they were talking about the mistakes one or the Rosicrucian connection one, but, you know, I don't have any reason to do that. It's like, you know, I wonder if he contacted George W. Bush before talking about Brown Brothers Harriman or, you know, Skull and Bones or, you know, Prescott Bush or the rest of it, you know, or did he just, oh, he just knew that he was a part of it. You know, it's not a matter of, you know, and the same thing, you know, do you contact Kissinger before you, you know, talk about third world, you know, genetic, you know, whatever, you know, it's like, I don't have any reason to.
No, he put out a theology and you addressed it.
It's exactly, and I didn't
simple.
Do it in a way like he did. I mean, I can't even read one of his posts without getting through, you know, these ad hominem attacks about just, you know, whatever and Christians in general. And, you know, they're saying I'm just, you know, just, I mean, one thing that gets me is I'm not like, and you're not like, you know, what the perception of Christianity is. And I wish people could just figure that out, that Christianity is not the same thing as anything that they think it is. You know, it's something dangled in front of their face to make it ugly. It's a monster created for the purpose of being ugly. It's not what it really is. It's like that nobody has figured out, it doesn't seem like they can figure out, that the Catholic Church was created after 350 years of totally destroying Christians, trying to wipe them off the face of the planet, and then said, okay, we give up. Rome becomes the church. I mean, that's not. And then they continued to kill us, you know. And then they killed us because we wouldn't worship Mary. And then they made it illegal to read the Bible. And
I know. Yeah, there's quote Christians unquote out there kill you if you don't worship Satan. You know, I realize that. Oh, I realize that all too well.
I know you do. Yeah,
I have gone up against some of those, and I've because I really wanted to ask them. You know, why do you have this? This and it's all part of the game, and there is, and I know the reason why people set up churches and cults and religions in general to gather people in twofold: one, to do the bidding of the master of this world. There is a master of this world. There's a whole hierarchy of masters of this world, and they the institutions or the system that generally populates the world is evil. You know, and so the churches that abide in that system, 501c3, what have you, will tend to be taken over by that element that wants you to use the church or Jesus' name to bait and switch people. But it's no different than, say, the New Age that you go in. I mean, I remember going into the ashram of Siddha Yoga in Santa Monica, California. And I was there for a while, and I thought it was so great. And, you know, I thought everyone was like, wow, they're so holy. They've taken vows of celibacy and vegetarianism, and they do work for the guru. And you go to the ashram, you get into this kind of chanting with a harmonium and this drums going, and it's really beautiful. And wow, cool people. And they're all really nice and loving. And then later on, you realize, but the requirement is you have to worship the guru and you have to do what you're told. In other words, to remain in that ashram to be accepted, I would then have to bow my knees and my heart and my will.
Exactly. It's no different than the pyramids of old and the Mayans and everybody else. I mean, you had to – they gave you knowledge about the stars and teach you how to build pyramids and teach you about jewelry and teach you about all this stuff. But you do have to give blood sacrifice to them.
Yeah, exactly. You have to do blood – now, blood sacrifice is really – also tied in with the New Age. It's also tied in with the Illuminati. The Illuminati is tied in with New Ageism and also tied in with a lot of the, like I say, there's the left-hand path and kind of a right-hand path. And, you know, there's one that's overtly kind of evil, like they're evil Satanists. And there's another one that just is all about good works on the surface. But underneath, they still bow their knees to the exact same master.
But there's lots of, as you know, I'm sure with Russ Izdar and stuff. There's just so many territorial, high level, demonic entities that are just stuck, you know, in particular places and have rise through will and through practice and stuff, and they have power to give out as well. You know, it's a big mess. Speaking of Russ Izdar, did I mention him? I think I just did. Well, I meant to right there because that's where I got that idea. But he just got a new like podcast thing. He's on iTunes and stuff. It's really a lot easier to get all his material and stuff. I recommend anybody that's interested in this kind of thing to look into Russ Izdar. You can find him on, I think it's a preemption broadcast at podomatic.com or preemption something like that.
Yeah, it's shatterthedarkness.net for all those that we have Russ on periodically and have for years now. In fact, I think I was the one that introduced Russ to the public. I mean, I don't want to start getting shown.
No, yeah. I just certainly introduced him. And as far as I was concerned, I was just blown away. That was a big turning point in my life. It was like really, really interesting stuff. And, you know, I was thinking it would be really good. Everybody's talking about debates and stuff with Desarian and whatever. You know, I'm not necessarily calling for it. Everybody's like, you know, whatever, but if it did happen, I would really like to have Russ Izdar just kind of hanging out in the background there. That would be some sparks could fly.
He's done some very good work lately, and he's also getting in this. There's been a fight out there, another one of movement of, you know, churchianity, Christians saying Jesus not divine versus Jesus is divine. And that's been a whole subject of controversy that's been going on, and Russ has, you know, dived into that fight and is good with apologetic arguments and defending. Again, it comes down to defending the gospel, because as the Bible says, there's false teachers coming in here, there, everywhere, trying to corrupt it just a little bit. If you can just get a little bit of the information off, but most of it right, you know, just like if a ship is off course a couple of degrees, well, you're trying to sail over to China, you wind up at the South Pole, right?
Yeah, but now they have to get ready for this new Antichrist system. They got to merge all these religions here pretty soon, and they got to do it through this great, you know, change. This what I think will be some kind of introduction of, in some manner, of alien or something like that, and it's going to change it overnight. It's that one thing that I couldn't understand about the Bible for so long. It's like, how the hell are you going to get a one world religion? How are you going to get them all to give it up overnight? And that's the only way to do it. I mean, a guy can talk some fancy stuff, but he's going to need something else too, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's why you have these people who I contend are lying to you with a very specific agenda. And I'm trying to show that to people that the agenda is to pave the way, to brainwash you into, it's like that movie Contact with Jodie Foster. If you remember,
yes,
that was just a psyop, in the sense that it was just one of those things that told people, hey, when aliens show up, that means Christianity's wrong. Okay, everybody remember that. Everybody got that? Okay. And it doesn't mean, like, even if you take that out of complete context, but where in the Bible does it exclude the possibility of extraterrestrial life at all? You know, I mean, you know, you get into some theological stuff there, but on the basis of it, you know, no. I mean, it doesn't mean Christianity is wrong, but that's what this psyop is like. I've heard it on the radio, people like saying it, you know, just stupid, you know.
Now, they're picking up on it. It is a mind control psyop, but it's very well organized, but I believe it's organized from a higher place, you know, from a timeless dimension, because it's too organized. It's too perfectly done. And if you talk to anyone who's actually been to the other world, really high-end wizards and people like that who've traveled to and from the actual kingdom, the satanic kingdom, which are like cities and there's all kinds of actual places that they go, it's very organized in the sense of, tracking each soul, for example, with these, what are called, you know, what Bishop Kanko, one of my guests, called psychic computers. And that it's not waiting for echelon. I'm getting feedback there, Chris, I think a little bit on your your end. But it's not like, you know, we're waiting for echelon. They already have the technology to track each person. If they have UFOs, they all already have the technology to track every single soul, because this is all about the business of souls and what they use souls to power their world. In other words, getting control of people. But what about this statement? You know, here is a typical statement from a very typical sort of New Age person. The universal force that works with us every day, the whole miracle of creation coming into existence, speaks to us every day, every minute of the day, but it speaks to us in symbols and vibration. It doesn't speak in words. We are very word-oriented, very left-brain. So there's a slight against the Bible. If we start to incorporate the right-brain hemisphere, the feminine side of us, the synthetic holotropic side of us, the synergistic side, then we start to become symbol-literate. If we become get in touch with our feminine side. I guess that's for men. Symbol literacy is the beginning to access that inner oracle. I choose one way to do it, which is teaching divination. Divination is the answer to what humanity can do to overturn the Illuminati, according to Mr. Michael Sarion from his page, The High Windows Articles. I just read exactly what he said. I was not putting a spin on it. I just read, now let me just drop down to the next paragraph. This is what Chris is, and we'll get Chris's response. I'm not making this up. I'm reading it right from the article. The Christians have used symbols to control people since time immemorial. Actually, they were a secret occult society in the beginning. So did the Nazis. If anyone doubts this for a moment, the power of symbols, just remember Nazi Germany and the horrors that took place there. So now he's linking Christianity with Nazi Germany. Back to you, Chris. What about that?
Well, I mean, first of all, you got to talk. I mean, when did Christianity, when in the Bible do you have symbols being used there? I mean, the Catholic Church used all kinds of stuff. That's so much of this can be just shot down with, like, are you talking about the Catholic Church that kills Christians, or are you talking about Christianity? You know, I mean, I can't. I mean, I also did something on John Allegro, you know, a few weeks back, and the Dead Sea Scrolls and all that stuff. Those, I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, John Allegro's whole argument is predicated on, well, I mean, not the Dead Sea Scrolls argument, but the mushroom stuff is predicated on this idea that, that the Catholic Church is Christianity. But as far as the rest of it, you know,
I've got nothing really against. I know some, you know, good, really faith-oriented Catholic people. They do some wonderful things. They're concerned about other people. They are not proud. They're not seeking their own fame and glory. They're very much acting in the manner Jesus acted, and they're not bad people.
Yeah, I know. I oftentimes really need to correct myself when speaking in generalizations of that nature. But the issue, I think, with it, he was talking about what at the end of the Many Mistakes of Michael Cesarion bit, the last thing was talked about was what he said we needed to do to beat the Illuminati, and it was just, I mean, he must have said ritual like, you know, 30 times. He just said, you know, we got to do rituals, just got to do all kinds of rituals, got to do lots and lots of rituals. And he offers like the mystery school. I presume that he teaches people how to do these specific Illuminati busting rituals, you know, and they can't talk about it or whatever. So I don't know what's going on there. But I mean, I don't care either. You know,
it's called magic. Magic.
It's white magic, black magic.
It's magic.
It's doublespeak. It can't possibly work because they're using the exact same modes, the exact same teachings,
it's
in the exact same places.
Yes.
It's absolutely impossible for that to make any fucking sense whatsoever. I mean, and I'm sorry, you can edit that out, I guess. Is this live? Oh, yeah, but.
No, I don't edit out the F word. Sorry, I consider the F word used correctly is a proper term when used in the right, not just, you know, fuck this or that every other sentence, but. And how could it? Yeah, I'm a preacher saying F word. Yeah, okay, go ahead. Crucify me some more. I don't care.
Well,
I'm a real Christian.
But, I mean, that's just it. I mean, and a lot of people are doing the same thing. I know Freeman is doing the exact same thing. And, again, it's all, you know, a white magic versus black magic. And, you know, I wouldn't understand that because I don't really know how the magic works. And it's all about what your intent and everything else. But, hey, you know, another thing, I mean, you have to go back to, you know, all their whole thing falls apart at Sitchin. I mean, it really does. I think that Sitchin has been implicated directly as being a part of this. And, you know, there's you know, MPD, SRIA that are, you know, are probably not the, you know, have false memory, obviously sleeping programs that are saying that. So, I mean, I take that for what it's worth. But at the same time, they had no reason to not. To implicate Sitchin, you know, because they anyway, it's a long story. I've gone
okay.
over that in my show.
Let me go over just a couple other of these interviews just to show that I'm not going to characterize it in any way, but just to read what is there and get your reaction. It says, so are men more influenced by symbols than women? We are all influenced from them at the DNA level. And then he goes on to say something about the elites. Then he goes on and says, the TV evangelists I have noted, use that a lot because every 5 minutes they're saying, send a check. But you know, these people couldn't have this power unless they had first raped us of the knowledge. So when you are putting the knowledge back into the people, you're giving them power. It's very, almost identical to the garden. I should probably back up and say something about, you know, the garden, very important to the Michael Cesarion's take on the Garden of Eden. Okay, so he talks about Nazi Germany and Christians and Nazis together in putting linkage between the Nazi movement and the Christian movement and saying, and Christ, which is insane. And then going on and saying, I mean, I just have to add, that's my editorial line. It's insane. That's why you find ancient symbols on these flags. The communist flag of Soviet Russia has three druidic symbols. The hammer and the sickle and the stars are from the time of the Druids. If you look at the Oval Office, it has the oak leaves and the carpet. If you look at the Nazi generals, they have the oak leaves and the lapel. If you look at the French generals of the police, they have leaves around their hats. And the American cavalry, the Civil War. He's talking about symbols. And I'm just looking now, I don't know what exactly I did with that part about the garden and about the serpents and about how important. Okay, here we are. It's a little further from where I was reading. But he says, so these elite people don't like you, the elites. In other words, he's doing some of the same ritual, but they don't like you. This is, they may not, but they cannot have any particular grudge against me as I have taken nothing from them. I have not come out of their coterie or eaten of their hands. It would be a different story if I had, and if I was largely self-taught, then I may not be around. And I met several of these people in my time, and my mentors, like Jordan Maxwell, are always accosted by them. We are not afraid of them. Can you be afraid of a hand puppet or something on strings? Anyway, one of the ways they ascend is through fear. Fear is a so he's going on about, you know, the elites and how he has some of the, in other words, they've stolen the knowledge and he's going to bring it back to the world. Mm-hmm. And that's going to liberate the world. Then he goes on and says, Chris, it's a battle of knowledge, of understanding, of wisdom. It's be ye wise as serpents. The serpents were the stellar cult. If the people who had the truth, that's a quote from the Bible, by the way. He only used half of it. Jesus told them to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves so that you can walk through this world and not be deceived, not be, in, you know, not be harmed. The people who had a true knowledge but also had moral sensibility, they had equality. As we move more into the Saturnian cult and solar cult, remember, Christianity comes from the solar cult and Judaism comes from the Saturnian cult. So we have Judeo-Christianity, and all you're talking about is the solar and Saturnian cults together. When these two cults came about into came into power and money, suppression of women and the sequestering of knowledge rather than the stellar and the lunar cults who said knowledge should be given to the people. You have set a lot of initiations so that you're not getting totally impure people, but it is open to all. And it, you know, the ramble, I'm reading word for word what he wrote. It's a little bit of a ramble. He says, they turned the beautiful story of Genesis into something negative and then brought into it the agency of Satan. Nowhere is Satan mentioned in Genesis. That just does not appear in any of the five books of the Torah of the Old Testament. So he's saying the serpent is really a part of the stellar cult and of knowledge. And the serpent is actually good because the serpent represents knowledge. And it goes on and on and on like that. So,
well, let it be said that also he is saying that what is being said there is that the serpent was actually these... That it's like the Sitchin idea of genetically modified one race for slaves. They were too good, though, too smart, so they rebelled. And then he made another race of people that were dumbed down even more. And the first race of people that were smarter, that had compassion for the other ones, came over to the Adams and said, hey, guys, we were trying to liberate you with knowledge. So this other race of people came the other created race, the first created race, huh? Ring any bells, you know, there. The angels came to try to liberate man with knowledge and genetically lift them up.
In exchange for giving them access.
And power and knowledge.
To Earth.
It's clouded the whole issue, but it's still saying, hey, serpent rocks. Yay, yay, rah, serpent, 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 serpent. It's still the same thing. It's like Christmas, you know? It's totally a pagan, but pagan thing, and you know, we got a phallic symbol in our living room, and it's a total ancient, you know, pagan practice. Mm-hmm. and it's all wrapped in Jesus, you know. So, but does it matter? I mean, hell, I think it does matter. I think that if it didn't matter, there wouldn't be a Christmas and there wouldn't be a Christmas tree. But we're going through these rituals as something that was we were tricked, you know, because it's a good, they get something out of us doing the rituals or something.
Yeah. Well, it's the doors open. They get life. You see, they get access to this plane, and through us and through our wills, they rule from another dimension. And in that dimension, they do have all kinds of things. And I've seen it myself, and I've talked to people who've also seen the same things. And they very much, need the human will consent to actually come in. That means they have to take control of the souls of people. And they also are looking for souls to take, and then they want to inhabit the people so they can then operate, you know, to one day they want to come through. And what the One World Order would be working for would be that one day when all these beings come forth, you know, and they would then get worship from the people. Like say, if you met people from the serpent race, you would get, they would be worshipped, you know, or the reptilian race. They would be worshipped, you know, as the gods, as Sitchin talks about that, obviously himself. And these gods, when they come through, they make, you know, they make an Atlantis. It's all great. But they are still the oligarchs, and they could not have access to this plane of existence without us, you know, weakening to their demands, which is, okay, I want the technology. I want to know what life's all about. Okay, we'll give you that. And what we want is access.
Hell yeah. That's all they've ever wanted is to get in here. I mean, it's like, you know, a haunted house. They only got like a one room, a foyer where somebody's done a seance or something like that. And it just shows that, you know, they just, they're desperate. They will cling and tell you that they're just a benevolent old woman and just anything to just continue to be here. It's just really shitty where they come from, you know? So, I mean, they just, that's just the rules of engagement. They have to have our will so that they made damn sure that they taught us how to bring them here. And it's like they will deceive even these high-level Illuminati that are trying to download themselves or think that they're being told that they're downloading themselves, when really they're just downloading all the demons that they've acquired into another body so the demons don't have to re-manifest and try it all over again.
There are those rituals, yes, that they have where the person will actually go ahead and die, you know, commit suicide or be killed with the idea of downloading into a child.
Right.
And that, but that's been really going on. And that's done through some things that you would say are total abominations on how to do that. And, what happens is that child actually, whoever that person is, that soul is kind of gone and shoved out by this incoming.
Right, and there's a lot of psychic power involved, and so that's what I said. So when people say I was born with psychic power and stuff like that, I bet you were, you know. I'm not saying anybody particularly, but a lot of people that do. And I mean, you can go to the shows. I did a show about, you know, saying, like, remote viewing and stuff that I think I showed pretty clearly. The people that are doing this that have come out of it say that there's no other way except through interdimensional beings, if you will, mm-hmm. helping them out with that.
Yeah, well, I've had that kind of thing when, obviously, clairvoyance, in the sense that it was there as a kind of a protection device. I don't feel it's necessary now because I've got the Holy Spirit, so it's much more powerful. It's like, you know, why would I want to look through that lens if I have perfect 20/20 vision? Why would I want glasses? I mean,
yeah, I'll stand retracted on that because, I mean, it's not really an area of serious study.
No, it's a good point. It's a good point because a lot of the people that have been cult multiples, cult abuse victims and things like that have tremendous psychic powers from the trauma, from the abuse. You know, it's engineered in. Look, you're talking about a technology here that goes back thousands of years. They know what they're doing. And that is knowledge they have kept from the public. But, you know, bringing out those kinds of gifts in people to be used for whatever reason, because they are all hive mind linked, because they want to send the person a message, so they need them to be clairvoyant, so that when they send them that message, they go, yes, master, and respond. Mm-hmm. Or you send voices into somebody's head, because, see, eventually, though, it becomes an Achilles heel when you're walking with the Lord, because if you have that open, like a third eye open, if you've got that third eye going, then it's just about they have total and complete control over your life, pretty much. Because when you think you're hearing from the Lord, you're hearing from, they can put any voice they want into your head. Just almost like broadcasting it like radio.
Right.
They don't need implants to do it either. And then those people then respond, and, you know, they can be, I met a lot of them who are in the Christian church as pastors and leaders. And then you talk to them for a while and their programming starts breaking. And when their programming breaks, they start kind of going on tilt, you know? And one guy, he said, I can't pray with you right now. They can hear me. They could hear us. They'll find out I'm trying to make a break from it.
Right.
I said, my brother, we're talking about the power of the Lord.
Right.
Oh, no, no, no. I can't do it right now.
Right.
And so there's the dilemma. And look, the people that are following, you know, I mean, Sarian is just, they don't really understand the history of all this. If you were, like, say, my age, and you were hanging out at the Bodhi tree in Los Angeles, and, you know, you go, generation after, I was there when the harmonic convergence came in, right? Where Shirley MacLaine was down there signing books, and what's his name? Jose Arguelles, that wrote the Mayan Conspiracy. And everyone thought, oh, the 25-year countdown to 2012, we're all going to be enlightened. And there's this whole, I mean, there are tons and tons of books that go way far. There are a lot more, this tradition that when you talk about Sarian, he's part of a tradition that goes way back through many books and syncretism with the Eastern religions and Western mysticism. It goes back and back and back. There's a lot more information out there. He just happens to be gathering them in now because of, you know, some popularity, but he's not saying anything new. And, you know, there is no really,
not in his conspiracy stuff.
I mean, just on the page. I don't have, yeah, I didn't buy the thousands.
In his conspiracy stuff, I think, I mean, he's done some stuff, but I think a lot of that is, you know, you can find other places. But he does differ, and he has done stuff on his, the cult side of it. And I think that I showed at least, gave a really, you know, big possibility here that he might be the Theosophical Society's main man in this era, this very important time period. I think that he is their play, he is their card, and he's the current public manifestation of their beliefs and very directly tied to them. And that may or may not be true, but I think that I've at least laid a case for that to be looked into. And I think that he's responded on his website to stuff that I didn't. He responded finally to something that was an article that I read from and responded to the mistakes in that article, of which I totally corrected as I was doing the show. He responded to mistakes that were in that article that I, as I was doing the show, corrected.
Fair. Okay. Well, but the thing is, in terms of Theosophical Society, of Madame Blavatsky's, it's a syncretism of Eastern and Western mysticism. Okay. I, you know, was a member of that myself. Philosophical Research Society in Los Angeles, Manly P. Hall founded. It's across from Griffith Park in Los Angeles, beautiful, on a street called Los Feliz. And, yes, went to many, studied in the library there. There was just something strange about it. I was actually a history of religions major myself. And I used to go to all the meetings of Philosophical Research Society, Theosophical Society, and others. LA is a great, huge place for all these different New Age movements, but they're all very similar. Like the, Theosophical Research Society was on La Brea, which was about, just down the road from where the Philosophical Research Society is, and they were just like cousins of each other. And it's all about seeking, you know, enlightenment, and it's about bringing in knowledge from the East, and it's about, you know, some of it has some strange wings about, I mean, wings, no pun intended, but offshoots, which would be going into the whole UFO thing. And also channeling is another big part of it. But
yeah.
But I doubt, and you know, if someone wants to send me the information that Sarian has that he says it's secret, it's been kept from people, if you go to the Philosophical Research Society, look up Manly P. Hall, and what he has is a bunch of books that he's written, but if you look at their book list, you may find that a lot of this information has already been talked about. Manly P. Hall's amazing Dictionary of Freemasonry, for example, is huge. I mean, it's got it's like a giant Bible with all pictures and everything about everything, about the hidden knowledge, about Egypt, about what it all means, where it's all going. So that was that generation before, and here comes another one. But this is not as detailed as Manly P. Hall, not as much information as Manly P. Hall, not as much available as in the Philosophical Research Society library, and in the library that where you can't actually leave with the books. The books have to stay there. There's a whole library there of books that no one will ever see on the internet.
Yeah.
So that's what all I'm saying. That if you want to go this route and really prove it, take this information and then go and look and see all the books, see all the information before you say, Michael Sarian has all the new information. It's never been uttered before. I say there's nothing new under the sun. I'm getting feedback on your thing.
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
They don't want us talking about this.
You know, I think that the channeled information is interesting because it's so uniform, and I always think that it's interesting that they're all saying the same thing. But you know, and that they're have such you know, for peaceful interdimensional beings, they sure are some Christian hating, you know. and you know, I think that it brings up, you know, a good point about what you were talking about with you know, just this whole idea that we're, I don't know, I don't know. I just want to say that on the channeled thing, just going back to that real quick, I think that it's the same thing that these aliens are saying, you know, it's the same message constantly, the same thing. I mean, we should take notice of that I think that people are writing books and are saying that, you know, and everybody's, it's all the same principle, and that should be noted, that if there are interdimensional beings, they are, you know, very hostile towards one particular religion, and that should be a serious red flag.
Now, whenever you go to them, they don't talk about Hinduism, Buddhism, even Christian mysticism. But if you're a Christian, You are frowned upon at the philosophical research. Any of these places would frown upon you. But if you came in as a Buddhist, or you came in as a Hindu, you came in as a Sikh, you came in as a, you know, even a Muslim, you would be considered welcome. You know, you would be welcomed. But when it has to do with Jesus, even a lot of the testimony of people that they want to make a point, they go out of the way to say, no, the cross was a myth. And they'll say that Jesus was a myth. And but I said, I didn't ask about Jesus while I'm volunteering. That's the first thing you hear from them.
So.
Yeah. But it is an interesting point that, you know, all the, in Los Angeles, there's also a big UFO craze. And back in the 60s and actually the 50s, there was a, you know, huge kind of cult gatherings out at a place called Big Rock. You know, some of you may have read some things about that. And a lot of these were spiritual meetings and bringing in a lot of the same ideas. They were going to get hidden knowledge to be revealed through the contactees. And the contactees then later became the channelers. In other words, they would channel these entities and bring back the hidden knowledge. The hidden knowledge that the evil church, remember, and just the same thing, Sarion is just almost like a broken record of what's come before, because he's saying the evil church kept all the knowledge. That we used to talk like that back in the 1960s. People would always say the evil church kept it from a... There's nothing new with Sarion. It's all the same. And I would even, you know, I haven't seen the secret knowledge that he's got, but I'll bet you anything, if I took one of the DVDs, I could then link the information there to... things
right.
To the long, many years of spiritualism and tradition and New Age and mysticism and all that. And we could find correlations all the way back through time.
Yeah. And, you know, something I think you and I probably both know, that the Vatican has indeed, you know, hoarded knowledge. And, you know, when the Vatican would go in and to a place and take their stuff or whatever, I contend that, you know, just as evidenced by the Dead Sea Scrolls controversy that I detailed recently, that I can't believe nobody's really seen the just the obviousness of this, that it seems to me the Catholic Church is actually trying to keep any proof of Christianity out of, and in fact do the opposite, you know? I mean, and I can't see in any of that organized thing since Constantine, you know, that they've done really anything but adversely to trying to poison the well, if you will. And so, yeah, they've taken knowledge, and they've taken all kinds of knowledge, but it's being used against Christians, and they're, it seems so obvious.
Well, fortunately, with the faith of a child, you can enter the kingdom. In other words, all the knowledge is restored to us through the Holy Spirit. So I know a lot more now than when I was following the New Age. When I went to the ashrams, and I went to Zen and to Siddha Yoga and to various others, which is also Kundalini Yoga, and all these you know, different cults, which was usually a bad result because I was running the cults to get away from the Satanists who were following me and hurting me and wrecking my life. And my life was wrecked, and I tried to find shelter there, and only to find that they're the same people that were outside. The same exact thing that was chasing me was in there.
Yeah.
They were chasing me because I came from a background of that, and their attitude is, you know, if you're born into that, that you have to be conformed to it or we'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
As we talked about on Chris's show, he has the one Z interview that went, I don't know, it was like 2 hours of probably that's the last one I'm going to do. That's the whole thing. I can't, nothing to add to it, and I don't want to do it again. Chris White, I really appreciate you being here. Anything to add about that? Can we talk just for maybe 5 minutes before hanging this up that about the rules of conduct here? Should we have rules of conduct? Should we just start slinging mud at each other?
Well, you know, I think that first and foremost, I am all about integrity of information. I have never wanted to push anything on anybody about this. I really want to come at this through an angle of what's true and what's not true, and what can we prove and what can we not prove. And let's never do anything based on dogma. And you have to, we all have to realize we have a dogma our own selves, even if that you, it's not in the traditional idea of what you think dogma is, because you've been trained like an attack dog to hate dogma, to hate religious practice, but never realizing that you also have a belief system, that is, so strong that it's kept you from really checking simple facts. And we, and I contend that this is, I couldn't tell you how hard it was to just say, look, just look it up. Like the Zeitgeist thing. The only thing I could think of was, well, I just put my money on the line, $200 now. I mean, for anybody just to prove anything that Zeitgeist says, or, you know, I lay it out on the website, but it's just as simple as that. And, yeah, rules of conduct. I don't got anything to hide. I don't have anything to hide. I'm all about it. You know, again, I just want to make sure that we don't get deceived, because in these, it's too crucial. And everybody seems to think this is a big psyop, to think that they can't understand. Well, he's giving us lots of information. I mean, why, how could he possibly be a part of this system? Because he's telling us about the Illuminati. He's telling us about this. There's no way that he could possibly be a part of this. When, you know, you realize that that information's out, man. That information is out of their hands.
There's
they can't
nothing,
stop that
there's
anymore.
Nothing.
The best thing that they can do is temper it and try to herd you into it. It's like, oh, yes, I know. Isn't the Illuminati so bad? Oh, come to me. I'll tell you all about it. They are super bad. Yes, 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 I know. No, but
and it's all because of the Jesus. It's
know?
All because
as
of the,
long as we hate Jesus, everything is great. You know,
yeah,
it's like
it all comes down to Jesus. The whole everything, everywhere you go, it's going to come down to Jesus is the problem. Get rid of that, and you've got a shot at getting healed.
And that sounds like dogma until you realize that
it's
that,
true.
You know that you can't get rid of demons without him. I mean,
no.
He and they their technology since the Nazis and paperclip is, and everything has been about acquiring demons to empower different programming. And you can stop all that with this name of Jesus. They hate that. They hate that you can boss demons around. And so it has to come down to him. In the way we are the salt of the earth, we are preventing this decay. We are stopping them from truly ruling this world. Of course they want us out of here so they can bring the system that they've dreamed about. We are preventing them from happening. So, of course, they're going to try every stupid little trick in the book. And once you put the glasses on, you know, John Carpenter, thanks for the imagery, that, you know, you can, it all makes sense. It's not even, like, really good. It's not even, like, really good arguments once you see through all of it. It's like, come on, have some respect for us. I know you're trying to dumb us down with all the fluoride and everything else, but
they were ultimately, when they take their mask off, you're all going to see that they are just the same people that they are criticizing, and they are, you know, beholden to the same forces, and we just walk right through them. I don't conform to anything in this system. I don't want any part of this system. I've been delivered out of it, not by my power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, who is God, who is the Lord, who is the way, who is the Messiah, and He is the one that protected me from them and delivered me from the Illuminati, where no one else and nothing else. And I believe me, I worked at it for many, many years trying to find a way. I've tried it all. And the thing is what they wanted was my soul. I don't know what else you would call it when they want you to worship a man as God, you know, in the form of a guru. I don't know what you would call that. It takes a lot more of a stretch to me than worshiping Jesus. But these people, the Western kids in the United States, eager to throw off the yoke of Christianity or the slave yoke of Christianity, just jump at the chance to worship the guru and can't understand why everyone isn't doing it, because we're going to bring in a new age of peace by doing so. And then if it's all about personal empowerment, okay, the personal empowerment, you know, the Esalen thing and the whole Timothy Leary and self-conscious, you know, consciousness, Paramahansa Yogananda, you know, we are all God, we just need to realize it, self-realization, or the modern-day Deepak Chopra chiming the same things. There's nothing new about this hidden knowledge. It is everywhere to be found. There's nothing secret about it. It's called the occult, but it's not really... It's a cult because it's hidden in plain sight. But if you want to know about it, I would suggest having the Holy Spirit, because these beings are very, very beguiling. They will promise you, you know, great health and longevity and eternal life, and through knowledge and through just letting them be our teachers and our ascended masters, they will guide us into, you know, the real realm. These hidden teachers that are out there, and Sarian alludes to this third world and other, you know, don't let me misquote. I strike that, but he alludes to other, you know, other knowledge and other, you know, it's hidden, and then people like him have to bring it in. Where, like I said, what's so funny is just any kind of cursory going through of any kind of New Age library or the New Age, if you like, the Philosophical Research Society book list or anything like that would reveal to you, you know, all this stuff. But none of it, for me, worked. And I have to say the witchcraft and spells and, you know, remote viewing, only the power of the Lord Jesus Christ can crush that one. And believe me, the wizards and witches, and they don't look like wizards and witches today. They're just people, but they can travel and they can come into your room. They can come into your mind and they mess with you. And you're looking for a solution to that. You're looking in the wrong place. If you think you can do it through, the age old way of the serpent, it just isn't going to happen. You're just going to get enslaved. And once they've gotten out of you what they want, they're going to kill you. Because that's what they do. They kill you. After they're done using you, they kill you. Do you understand that? That's why we're yelling, because they kill you. I mean, your life is at stake. You better start listening to this show and stop with the Jeff Rentses and all the Coast to Coast and all that other stuff and listen to Chris White. Your show, give your information out, Chris, please.
Yeah, the website's now on another server. It's conspiracyclothes.com/nowhere to run. conspiracyclothes.com/nowhere to run. And you can, you know, it's on iTunes and all that stuff, so it's called Nowhere to Run. And, you know, you can email me and send me your hate mail and stuff. It's Chris, C-H-R-A-S, at conspiracyclothes.com. And I'll try to, you know, do whatever I can to, you know, if you think that something's wrong or whatever, I'm totally open to trying to figure it out with you.
Yeah, Chris, what we need to do is we need to get your, do you have a feed coming from that site? Because what I want to do is put it on Predicto so that we
can. Yeah, well, you can do that on the nowheretorun.podomatic.com. There's a link on that site.
Okay, all right. nowheretorun.podomatic.com, and from there, folks, you can get the go ahead and take the feed. We'll take it on Predicto, and we'll have that going. And hopefully, Chris, if you like, I invite you to, you know, if you find you have a really important article, you want a little extra, you know, footprint with it, go ahead and post it on Predicto. Well, right now, I have to say, we're going to have to expand or something, because 173 articles that all deserve to be pretty much all looked at very thoroughly. In the month, this month alone, and 863 since we began, and just, you know, not too long ago in 2007, I had no idea this thing was going to be that well read, or it's going to turn into some kind of a warfare. You know, I had no idea what was going to happen. It was just supposed to be a little blog originally, and now it's like, you know, it's like hot. It's hot in terms of, you know, people want their say their opinion, and yes, it is. I will say this, folks, it is, there is some censoring when there are personal attacks, but if it's a serious attack, you know, if it's a really, you know, if it's below the belt, it's not gonna, if it's just like, Zeph's an Illuminati plant, and, you know, if that kind of thing, cause I get that too. Zeph's a Satanist, he's a cult leader. Okay. That probably won't get posted. I don't see the mail. So if you're trying to get to me with a note, where you know it comes to me, you think you're, even if I don't put it up there, I'm the editor in terms of the one that puts the, no, it doesn't come to me. I don't see it. And the reason I don't see it is because you know why? Because people have my back on this issue. Because I've got a lot of stuff to do. And if I get caught up with, you know, hate mail and I spend 3 hours trying to address someone that's not sincere anyway, there goes the day.
Yeah.
I don't know how you handle that, Chris, but I've got a wonderful, we have a dear sister who looks after the editing. And she said a lot of Sarion mail came in. And I said, you know, and I guess she's posting it. But she's in charge of that. I trust her so completely, I don't really tell her to post or not to post. It's up to her. So if you're trying to get a little note to me, you won't be able to do it. See, that was a little conduit where they could send me a note, like, and they put a spin. You know, there's actually something like you can put a whammy in an email. There are spirits attached to emails. It's another subject of inquiry, but I've noticed that. And I don't like that either. Okay, Chris White, listen, thank you for being my guest. And stay right there. We'll just, folks, this is Zeph Daniel. This is the Zeph Report. We may air this on the, I think we're going to have, because of we're going to have to air this right now. So you'll be hearing this today. And
I'm going to stalk you.
We'll be back at you on the weekend, if not sooner, on Spirit Talk Sundays. So if it is Spirit Talk Sunday, stay right there. Zeph Daniel for Chris White, out.